We begin Sefer Devarim, and the very opening words of Sefer Devarim are Moshe Rabbeinu's valedictory address to the Jewish people, where he has the chance to give them some tochacha, to give them musar about all the mistakes that he felt that they have made over the course of the number of years that they were traveling in the Midbar. So the pasuk opens up in our parsha. Eila hadvarim asher diber Moshe al kol Yisrael. These are the words that Moshe Rabbeinu spoke to the Jewish people. Be'ever hayarden. Why is he saying all of this in Eiver HaYarden? Because as we know, Moshe Rabbeinu was not given entry into the land of Eretz Yisrael. So here he is on the other side of the Jordan River, outside of Eretz Yisrael, giving his last will and testament to the Jewish people. And the pasuk tells us that he starts mentioning all different places. V'lavan v'chatzeros v'dizahav. Now we try to make an understanding out of this pasuk. We don't really know what it's getting at. What is he referring to when he says lavan v'chatzeros v'dizahav? What kind of way is that to speak? And Rashi comments immediately on that pasuk that Moshe Rabbeinu really here wanted to give tochacha. He wanted to rebuke the Jewish people for all the things that he felt they were not right about along the years. But Moshe Rabbeinu was careful that he didn't want to say it directly. He didn't want to give direct tochacha. He chose to say it indirectly. So everything was beremez. So says the pasuk, Manakan kol ha-mekom ha-sheikh isan behan lefnei ha-mekom. Moshe Rabbeinu realizes, my obligation as the leader of the Jewish people is to make sure that I give them musar. That's the job of the leader. That's what he has to do. A parent sometimes has to give musar to the children. It might be uncomfortable. It's not what the parent wants to do. It doesn't make the children like you, but that's what you have to do. So Rashi says, Moshe Rabbeinu realizes and he understands this is his obligation. This is what he needs to do before he passes on from this earth. However, although he felt the need to give them musar and he felt that's what had to be done, his kiran beremez mipnei kevodan shel Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu felt the right way to do it is to just dance around the issue, sort of, and just try to make a reference to it, that everybody there understood what he was talking about, but he didn't want to mention it directly. Why? Mepnei kevodan shel Yisrael. It's going to be embarrassing for Klal Yisrael. He's going to get up and start talking openly about the Egel, about all the terrible things they've done. So Moshe Rabbeinu decides, I'm going to talk to them about it, but I'm going to hide it, I'm going to couch it in different terms, and just make reference to all of those very painful events that took place. So Reb Chaim Shmulevitz has what I believe is a very powerful comment. Reb Chaim Shmulevitz was one of the famed Rosh Yeshiva of the Mir Yeshiva in Yerushalayim. I always find it fascinating that when you look at people's lives and what they invested so much of their time and efforts toward building, sometimes they go down in history not what they thought they would go down in history as, but as something totally different. So here you have is one example. Reb Chaim Shmulevitz's whole life was a great Rosh Yeshiva who was giving shiurim, who was teaching Talmidim Gemara and Shas and whatever he was doing. And then there was a 2 or 3 year period in the Mir Yeshiva in Yerushalayim where the Mashgiach, I think, passed away or was unable to give the Musar. So Reb Chaim Shmulevitz stepped up because there was no one else there. And he goes down in history, as the Sichas Musar. And his probably most prominent sefer is the Sichas Musar. That's what many of us have seen. But that's not at all what he invested in. It's like my father tells me often about Reb Moshe Feinstein, that everybody knows Reb Moshe was the Posek and Reb Moshe wrote the Igros Moshe, and that's something, Mipia Anu Chayim. We're still reading Reb Moshe Feinstein's tshuvas, and everyone's trying to understand them and how to apply them. If you would have asked Reb Moshe, he said, no, that was just what I did between Mincha and Maariv. I didn't really invest of myself. I didn't see that my tafkid in life was to be the Igros Moshe. My real goal in life was to be the Dibros Moshe, to write all of my shiurim and to write all the svarim that he wrote. Nothing to do with the Igros Moshe. In fact, when my parents got married, Reb Moshe gave them a wedding gift. Reb Moshe was a little bit of the shadchan for my parents. So he sent a wedding gift to my parents. So he inscribed, he gave them, I think, 2 volumes of the Igros Moshe, 1 volume of the Dibros Moshe. That's all that was out at the time. And he inscribed the Dibros Moshe. So Rabbi Michal Shurkin, who delivered the gift on behalf of Reb Moshe to my father, told him, and you should know the reason why Reb Moshe inscribed the Dibros Moshe is because that's what he was really about. It wasn't the Igros. The Igros is just what he writes when he has nothing else to do or when he's just responding to people's questions. It's not really what he did. He really sat down and felt his life mission was the Dibros Moshe, which is just a fascinating thing. The thing my father often says about the Malbim also. The Malbim was really one of the Gedolei Ador. The Malbim was the personality who wrote the Arzus HaChaim, a very important work on Shulchan Aruch HaRachaim. But how many of us have ever heard of the Malbim in that realm? We hear the Malbim, his Pirish, his commentary on Tanakh, and that's how the Malbim goes down in history. I think they told Rav Meir Simcha, the Or Sameach, that when he wanted to print his Chidushim on the Rambam, they told him he should first print the Meshech Chachma on Chumash, because the way to get into people is you first write something on Chumash, that's something they can handle, and then once they know you're ready, you'll write your other thing. And it's a question, how did he go down in history? Is he the Meshech Chachma, or is he they are sameach. But here's another one of those examples where Reb Chaim Shmulevitz seems to go down in history as the Sichas Musar, even though it's not at all what he invested most of his time trying to accomplish. So here says Reb Chaim Shmulevitz that he finds what is a very powerful statement. Here you have Moshe Rabbeinu, Yamim Sfurim Lefnei Moso, just a couple of days before he passes away. Bevo lo chiach es Am Yisrael, at the time that he's coming to rebuke the Jewish people. Alachatoim hayiduim v'hamifursamim lakol. He's giving them Musar not about, oh, I once saw you talk Lashon Hara in the corner and nobody else heard about it, but I know. Or he's going and saying, oh, I heard about the infidelity that nobody else knows about. That's not what he's doing. Moshe Rabbeinu is giving a general Sichas Musar about everything that they already knew, such as Chet HaMeraglim. He's discussing with them about the Chet HaMeraglim. Now, is there anybody in the generation who ignored the Chet HaMeraglim? Is there anybody who wasn't aware of it? Of course they all knew. How can you ignore it? After all, we know She'alav Nigzira Misal Dora Mabel. That's the reason why many of the members of the time of the Dora Midbar, they were wiped out as a result of that mistake of the Chet HaMeraglim. So Moshe Rabbeinu is discussing that. V'lo zachal yikanes la'aretz. Then Moshe Rabbeinu says, we're also going to talk about the Chet HaEgel. Now, is there anybody who is not aware of the Chet HaEgel? In fact, the Gemara tells us, every generation subsequent since the Chet HaEgel is still suffering as a result of that mistake that they made. Hashkafically, you have to understand why that's true. Why should we suffer just because thousands of years ago something went wrong? It's a good question, but the Gemara seems to assume that the Chet HaEgel is something the Jewish people will never forget about. So Moshe Rabbeinu is getting up, giving Musar about the Chet HaEgel and the Chet HaMeraglim and all the things that everybody knows about and all the misonanim and all the problems, and yet he feels the need to say it in a remez. He feels the need to say it indirectly because he doesn't want to humiliate the Jewish people. Moshe Rabbeinu is careful that he is only going to say these in hidden terms. This is not my mitzvah. What do you mean? This is what I have to do. This is my job. This is my obligation. I'm the leader of the Jewish people. What else am I going to do now? But even though I have an obligation, there's a way to do it. And I was thinking when I saw this comment of Reb Chaim Shmulevitz, every so often we have an obligation to give tochacha to our children, to our grandchildren. That's our obligation as parents. But we have the choice to figure out how we're going to do that. We have no right. So many Svarim write, the Stipler writes a very frightening story about, the Stipler doesn't write it, many other Svarim write, how the Stipler showed up at somebody's bar mitzvah once or something like that. And he had no idea, nobody really had a clue why the Stipler was coming. Apparently the Stipler ended up explaining the reason why is because once at a very young age, this kid, the Stipler felt that he humiliated him in some way, some very slight way. Kid asked the question, the Stipler gave him a snappy response. Kid felt very bad, he was embarrassed, people were laughing at him. And the Stipler went and he asked Mechila from the child. And the child said, okay, of course, it's okay, I understand, it's not a problem. The Stipler said, but you were a child at the time that you were mochel me. Ketanim arlav b'nei Mechila ninu. I had to wait until your bar mitzvah. I've been waiting years and years to ask you Mechila. We shouldn't think that just because somebody's a child, we don't have to worry about their sensitivities. Yes, it's true, we have a mitzvah tochacha, but that doesn't allow us to do it however we want. We cannot be irresponsible. Moshe Rabbeinu also had the mitzvah of tochacha, but there was a sensitivity that he had to govern his words by. There was a way that he had to approach it. He had to be mindful of the feelings of the Jewish people, and he had to be aware of how they were going to take it. And therefore, says Rashi in our Parsha, Kedei shelo levayshon Moshe Rabbeinu, make sure to go out of his way. Ha'ein ze melamdenu, does this not teach us magadula malas kavod abrius v'chiyuv hazehiris bazeh? Says Reb Chaim Shmulevitz, do we not learn from Moshe Rabbeinu when he's talking about something that is so obvious to everyone, when he's doing what he has to do, what the Ribbono shel Olam asked him to do, and still he does it with such care, with such sensitivity? Does that not teach us, says Reb Chaim Shmulevitz, how careful we need to be? Ve'ein hadvar mamurim davka b'chvodo shel haklal kulo. Says Reb Chaim Shmulevitz, that doesn't just mean when you're dealing with the entire Jewish people, so now there's a lot on the line. If you're going to humiliate them, you're humiliating a whole lot of them, so you got to be extra careful. Ela'af b'kavod apachos shebebrios, he writes. This also teaches us that we need to be sensitive even for the lowest common denominator of society. How do you know such a thing? Well, let's take our minds back a few weeks to the parsha of Bilam. What happens in the story of Bilam? Bilam is paid off to go and curse and wage war, basically, with the Jewish people. Bilam, as we know, is on his way, and the donkey miraculously begins to talk to him. Donkey turns around, has a whole conversation with him, Bilam talks back, and finally Bilam realizes maybe this is not a good idea. Basically, the donkey shut him up. That's pretty much what happened. So Bilam backs off, he decides he's not going to do it. If I were the one in charge, now I'm not, but if I were the one in charge, and I was God, and I was deciding, Now that the Bilam story is complete, what do we do with that donkey? I would have said, great idea. Why don't we take that donkey to the United States, travel around every community that we can possibly find, hold a dinner in honor of this donkey, and let everybody see, this is what happens when you mess with the Jewish people. Even a donkey is better than you. Imagine the Kiddush Hashem that could have come about. Imagine we would bring this animal around the whole world. The inspiration people would draw from seeing, look what happens. Look at the incredible miracle. Look at the nace. Look what the Ribbono Shel Olam does. That's what should have been done. That would have been natural. That would have made sense. And look what could have come about if only we did that. And yet Rashi says on that parsha, immediately after Bilam has this uncomfortable exchange with his animal, Mesa, the animal dies. Why does the animal die? What did the animal do wrong? Why is the animal being punished? Why did he lose his life? Says Rashi, Shela Yomru, that people shouldn't say, Zuhi Shasilka as Bilam Bitochachta. Imagine what everyone would say. You bring this donkey around the whole world, everyone would point at it and say, aha! That's the one that got in the whole issue with Bilam. And look what happened, the donkey came out on top. V'lo haya yachal lahashiva. And Bilam is not available. Nebuch, don't you feel bad for him? Bilam wouldn't even be here to defend himself. And we need to be sensitive to Bilam also. You could be the Avi Avos HaRishayim. You could be the worst of the worst, the bottom of the barrel. You could be Bilam HaRasha, who wanted to destroy the Jewish people. But we have an obligation to be sensitive to your feelings also in the way we deal with you. And therefore, if you don't deserve to be punished by having everybody talking about you, by having everybody come and look at that donkey and remind themselves of the story and humiliate you, it is something we absolutely have no right to do. And therefore, the Ribbono Shel Olam said, I'm willing to overlook all of the Kiddush Hashem that will come about, and all of the wonderful things, and all the inspiration. All of that is worthless, is meaningless, because it's going to cause Bilam to be humiliated. And that's something we don't take lightly. And says Reb Chaim Shmulevitz, we learn from here how much we need to be careful. He explains the reason why. He brings a parallel from the story of Chana and Penina. So the Gemara says, Penina l'shem shamayim niskavna. We know that there were two wives, and one of them was able to have children, and one of them was not. And we know that Penina was inciting her co-wife, and she was trying to make her feel bad, and she said, oh, look at my children, and look, I'm going with my husband to the Beis HaMikdash. And Chana was feeling terrible. The Gemara says, do you think Penina was a terrible woman? Do you think that's what she did because she hated her co-wife? Of course not. Penina l'shem shamayim niskavna, she had the greatest of intentions in mind. She wanted that Chana should realize how pathetic, how sad her life was, and she wanted that Chana should feel that it's time for her to reach out to the Ribbono Shel Olam, but yet Penina was punished. Why was she punished? I had the noblest of intentions. I wanted that my co-wife should get what she deserves. I wanted that she should be blessed with children. Why am I punished? Says Reb Chaim Shmulevitz, because Ben Adam Lachaveru is fire. And just because you have the noblest of intentions, if you jump into a fire, you're going to get burnt. Ben Adam Lachaveru is playing with fire. And Kavod Abrios is playing with fire. And just because you have all kinds of great ideas in mind, and Moshe Rabbeinu really wanted to give Tochacha as he should have, and we want to tell off Bilam as we should, but if it's going to compromise someone's own dignity, someone's human sensitivity, and we're going to overlook how they're going to react to that which we're doing, it's all worthless. It's all meaningless. The Ribbono Shel Olam would rather you not do any of that. Because Ben Adam Lachaveru is playing with fire. And that's, as Reb Chaim Shmulevitz, is a lesson we need to take away from this week's Parsha as we think about the story of Moshe Rabbeinu and how he formulated his words, how he spoke to Klal Yisrael with such sensitivity, with such a care. It's something that we need to be concerned about. Yes, we have a mitzvah of Tochacha every so often, but not always does Tochacha mean we have a right to humiliate other people. Not always does it mean we have a right to overlook their sensitivities. I said on Shabbos a story that really has inspired me in so many ways, and with this we'll close for Mincha. I remember that Tzviki Lau told me a story. He's Rabbi Lau's son. So he told me the story about his father, that he said he thought he remembered it was Menachem Parrish who worked in the Israeli government. He was a representative of many of the Haredi part of the population in Eretz Yisrael. So Menachem Parrish, for the longest time, was trying to negotiate with the Iriya in Yerushalayim that they should close off the streets on Shabbos, because he thought it was terrible that the children who are growing up in these Haredi families should have to see the kids who are being Mechala Shabbos. Terrible thing. So he was negotiating for a long time to try to get the roads closed. Finally, one day he gets a call from the mayor of Yerushalayim, and he says, look, we're ready to go ahead with the plans. We're ready to go ahead and close off the streets. Here's the map. We want you to sign on the dotted lines. We have a deal. So Menachem Parrish comes. He looks over the map, and he said to himself, look, I can't sign this without going to a Gadol B'Yisrael, without going to Reb Shlomo Zalman Auerbach and discussing it with him. Why? Because Reb Shlomo Zalman is never going to agree to this. Why? He's going to say, you didn't close enough streets. You got to close all the streets. We have to have the entire Yerushalayim without Chilul Shabbos. He'll never give in. So he takes the map. He goes back to Reb Shlomo Zalman's house. He tells the mayor, I can't sign it until I discuss it with Reb Shlomo Zalman Auerbach. So he goes. He's convinced Reb Shlomo Zalman is going to say, you cannot sign because don't give in to this yet. Shows up in Reb Shlomo Zalman's house. Reb Shlomo Zalman starts to cry and he says, how can you dare sign such a thing? He says, what do you mean? What's the problem? He says, don't you know, aren't you concerned that all of those Jews who are driving on Shabbos are now going to have to take a detour and they're going to have to be Mechal Shabbos more because you closed all those streets? Are you not sensitive to their Chilul Shabbos? This is not Shabbos for them? Where's your sensitivity? That's the way the leaders of the Jewish people have always felt. That's the way they have always reacted. Doesn't matter what kind of Jew you are, doesn't matter how religious or non-religious you are, we always make sure that our religion cares about everyone. And that's what Moshe Rabbeinu cared about, and that's the perspective we learned from Bilam, that's the perspective we learned from the shmuz that Moshe Rabbeinu gave in this week's Parsha, and that's what the greats of every generation have taught us. We need to be sensitive to the needs of other people. We need to think and be mindful about how they are going to react. And yes, we all know there's a mitzvah of tochacha, but there's only a very specific and particular way that it can be given over. Not always is tochacha the right answer to everything. Sometimes tochacha is something that should be withheld. Sometimes there's a way we need to measure our words and be careful about the way we present an issue. And that's what Moshe Rabbeinu taught us, and that's something we could walk away with from this week's parsha as we think about our interactions, and we're in the 9 days and we think so much about Bein Adam L'Chaveiro. Don't ever forget what Reb Chaim Shmulevitz taught us, that Bein Adam L'Chaveiro is absolute fire. And when you're dealing with fire, one has to be very careful because you can have the greatest intentions in mind, but if a person jumps in where they shouldn't be, perhaps one can possibly get burnt by that fire. Reb Hanani ben